this. Let's go. I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
On a boat is where at Mr. underscore Kevin Jones wants to be this weekend, Cleveland. Can you help him? He wants to be on a boat.
On that particular boat, yes.
We're not talking about a canoe.
we're talking about boats.
I don't even think we're talking about fishing. Although that's what Kevin mentioned. But that song, which you requested, let's make sure the audience knows.
You're a Kinko Straight flipping copies. It was, thank goodness.
It was edited for radio.
It comes out of the gate. Yes, nice. Absolutely. Absolutely. Nice. That is good stuff. We've heard this show is being that was the first time I feel like that this show's ever been used to advance a social agenda.
Social
and I like
agenda.
It. Why not?
Yes, I guess someone's under different circumstances, we might have done the same thing.
Right.
Someone's already inviting Kevin. Cruise down to Columbus. I'll show you around from Indian Summer. I don't know if that's a guy or girl, but they want him to cruise down to Columbus.
Interesting, nonetheless.
Exactly.
You know, someone's got to watch out for young Kevin too. We got to make sure.
He is invited. He wants to go on the road.
He put the public invite out. But here's the thing: you mentioned about prolific and contribution. I don't want to be a man down next week. I got to have my guy here with me. So
he's going to be there.
All right,
he's
good.
He's going to be just fine.
He's got to survive Memorial Day weekend. Is my point.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Well, the people. Are you saying that the good people of Cleveland would put him in jeopardy? No way. It's a wholesome town here, notorious.
All wholesome, fun stuff.
I don't know how things are in Buffalo. Cleveland.
With macaroni salad. What did he say? Pasta salad.
He makes a mean pasta salad.
Good stuff.
Yes.
What else do we have? Joe Thomas had some
Joe
stuff,
Thomas
right?
down. We got a couple phone calls. Which way you got to go
first, Let's do calls.
All right, let's go to James in Cleveland. James, welcome to CBD.
What's going on, fellas? Good Friday to y'all.
Likewise, back at you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I want to get on a couple quick points.
Okay.
First of all, the Josh Gordon goes, man, and his drug test, if it looks like a duck, walk like a duck, and quacks like a duck, then it's probably a duck.
Probably, but maybe not.
Yeah, but then let's go back to the history. You know, he failed two drug tests in college. Don't think he ever played it down in Utah. Then last year it was the cough syrup, which contains codeine, which we all know is a drug that people use called lean or syrup to get high. So maybe he was trying an alternative to weed then. And what this did, in my opinion, man, when you see everybody come out, everybody was mad that Ray Farmer and the Browns didn't take a receiver. I think in Cleveland, man, we began to overvalue the wide receiver position. And I think it's because we had a lot of bad luck. I don't know how far you want to go back to Quincy Morgan, and you had
the history has been Brady bad at the position.
Everybody's looking for the next Josh Gordon, but right now I just take the next Joe Jurevicius.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think – very good call, James, and the historical perspective is right. And – I think that had as much to do with anything about the response to Gordon was the history. Not only appreciating how great it was in its here and now context, but the history of the position has been so bad that when you get somebody like Josh Gordon, you're embracing it. You're saying, oh, my God, this has elevated the position more than this team has seen in a long time. But Ray Farmer has brought this perspective, and he's tried to do this, I don't think just for convenience sake or political spin here. I think when he says – take a hard look at how the position itself has really impacted teams. How many championships are won with the so-called great dominant receivers and where those teams are in terms of wins and losses. The facts back that up, that is not really the key formula for success. And it's not the formula this team is following. You want the guy. This is not so, you know, say this because it makes you feel better about not having Josh. I think he's making the point, to what extent do you go to get a replacement? How much do you invest in trying to get great at that position? You want to be great at all positions, but I think from a priority list in the eyes of Farmer, I believe him when he says receiver doesn't necessarily have to be as high on his list as it is on others.
Right. And you know, we went through this, and again, I think a lot of it is making yourself feel better, but you know, Calvin Johnson is 40 games under 500 since joining Detroit. No receiver picked in the top five has ever won a Super Bowl with his team. It's an interesting thing when you look at the good teams last year. You had one guy who was even drafted on the Seattle Seahawks, and they won the Super Bowl. So it's not as important as it seems. Do we want Josh Gordon out there? Yes, it's a great guy, great player, and a great guy to have out there. We've got Pat in Lima now joining us. What's up, Pat?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, bud.
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller, so it's great to finally talk with you guys.
Good to have you.
Hey, first thing I would, before I get into my main point, Vic, I have to ask you this, because I know, and this is putting it lightly, that you weren't the biggest Johnny Manziel fan, so, you know, are you recovering from the pick?
It wasn't. Let me say this, and yes, stay on the line, of course, Pat. It wasn't about being anti-Johnny as much as the notion of what I thought he would bring in this circumstance. First-year coach, first-year GM, organization still finding its legs and having the enormity of what he brings to the table here. And I didn't think that was the good fit. And I still need to be convinced football-wise that he can be everything that a lot of others who are more enthusiastic about him than I am feel. Having said all that, leading up to the draft, he was the number two quarterback I had ranked. Nathan knows this, behind Blake Bortles. That is how they came off the board. I'm not saying anything that makes me a genius, because I had him coming off also as a top 10 guy, but not to the Browns at four. I think where they selected him fits better than it would have, much better than it would have at four. I'm still going to see, like we all are, how the whole Manziel presence is handled. You notice, and I think this has been unfair largely, by the way. I'm not doing an I told you so here. I don't like the way the national media has portrayed this as a mishandling. I think people are not well informed and have come after Jimmy Haslam, Ray Farmer, you hear it, Mike Pettine, and I know they're Manziel supporters, but I think they're just taking the cause up for the sake of saying the Browns screw so many things up. They're screwing this up too. Look at how they're saying, and I'm taking offense to that now, because from the inside, I don't see that happening. I think I like the way it's being managed. And more importantly, I don't see the kid's reaction, Manziel's reaction, being all that, you know, much in a way that it's throwing him off his game. So he seems steady for a young guy. Still need to see how it plays out, but no, it's not a shock to my senses. And one other little caveat I'll throw in here. I hope you heard me say this. I said selfishly, personally, from a content standpoint, it doesn't get any better than having this guy. So you know what? I think we've gotten what we wished for.
I would agree with that. Let me ask you this, though, Vic. And you thought it would be the Cleveland Manziels and that it would cause problems in the locker room. I would say you've got at least be pleased with the way that the players are reacting to him and the way that he's fitting in.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. The reaction of the players, we just had Billy Winn on. You and I have talked to other guys about this, their observations. Listening to Joe Thomas, and I think we've got more Joe Thomas sound on this subject, that we want to hear right now. But Joe Thomas addressing the subject as well on Manziel when he spoke to the media on Wednesday. I love those comments. Let's listen to what he had to say about Johnny Manziel.
I haven't been in the huddle with him, so I can't say, but, you know, he's just been a good job being a rookie, coming in, keeping his mouth shut, and rookies are supposed to be seen and not heard, and if he follows that, he'll do well here.
That, by the way, is a direct quote from Mike Pettine in Collision Low Crossers. I wonder if that's a coincidence. Rookies are supposed to be seen and not heard. Interesting there. He said, though, he was impressed on how Johnny has handled his business.
I'm just impressed so far with the way he's handled his business, coming in as a rookie and understanding that he's got a lot of work to do, and the things he did in college don't mean anything in the NFL.
And that absolutely has struck a chord with me, because just seeing the serious-mindedness and the focus and whatever I've thought about him beforehand, it was less to do about him individually as it was with what surrounds him as the kind of the team, the entourage, or the whatever. And I can't speak to exactly what level of involvement is there, like our folks in public relations or the administrative staff of the Browns, how much they're dealing with in the way of Manziel's people. What I hope has happened is at some point, Mike Pettine, Ray Farmer, Alex Shiner, Jimmy Haslam, somebody had the conversation with somebody leading Team Manziel and basically said, look, now that he's here, now that he's in this building, we deal with it. We operate under our rules, our way. And that's the way it should be. And don't confuse that with trying to change Manziel you know, change him from what he has been for what's been successful? Because that's the other part. That's the football part that we'll see, you know, how it translates. Because I maintain, and I can't be convinced otherwise, that he can only succeed, or he'll succeed his best way, when he's allowed to do most of, if not everything, he did at the college level. I know there's got to be a blend of something that will be different, but no way do I expect to see or want to see this coaching staff try to remake him into something else.
No question. You got to let Johnny do the things that he does that are special that make him Johnny, but at the same time refine that for what will succeed at this level in the NFL. And all accounts are that both parties are doing a good job of moving football Johnny in that direction. When we come back to Torrey's, this is a special holiday edition of the Friday Forecast. We'll be joined by a guest forecaster, The Kid, right after this on CBD.